now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today we've reached the third and final Sunday of pre-Lent. We're exactly 50 days from Easter. This Wednesday will mark the beginning of Lent, which is a 40-day penitential season, excluding Sundays. Over the last 2 weeks, we have thought of the Christian life in terms of athletics and agriculture. Today, we will think of the Christian life, and more particular, the Lenten season, as a pilgrimage. As we've seen over the last 2 weeks, the Lenten season is really a microcosm of the Christian life, and the same will be true today. The idea of making a pilgrimage to a holy place in search of a spiritual experience is deeply embedded in the Christian tradition. At the time of the Reformation in the 16th century, there was a reaction against the idea of pilgrimages because of some of the abuses which had accrued to the practices. If you read a work like The Canterbury Tales, you can see some of the frivolity and superstitions that had become intertwined with pilgrimages. There was a reaction against much of this, and rightly so. But as time has passed, many have recognized that the idea of making a pilgrimage is biblical. In the Old Testament, Abram was called to make a pilgrimage to the land which God promised to him and his descendants. When Israel was delivered from their bondage in Egypt, they embarked on a pilgrimage to the promised land. And after the children of Israel were settled in the land, the Lord commanded them to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the temple, 3 times each year at these various feasts. They would travel together and even sing the Psalms of Ascent as they climbed the mountainous region near the temple. And of course, the entire Christian life is a pilgrimage to the New Jerusalem, to the new heavens and earth described by Isaiah and St. John. This has been captured in popular literature such as Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus called his apostles to embark on a pilgrimage when he said, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem." Since the time was closing in toward Passover, one of the appointed annual feasts of the Jews, they would have thought nothing about such a call. They had all probably made similar journeys numerous times throughout their lives. But this time would be different. Jesus said to them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again." This is actually the third time in St. Luke's account of the gospel where Jesus has made such a prediction. But we're told that the apostles still did not understand. St. Luke tells us that the saying was hidden from them. This likely means that they would only understand all of this in retrospect, after the fact. As we know, Jesus had set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. This was the purpose for which he came. Just weeks beyond this, Jesus would ride triumphantly into Jerusalem on a donkey, being greeted joyously by the other pilgrims who traveled there. But just days later, he would be arrested. He would be shamefully treated by the Jewish and Gentile soldiers who passed him around. He would be nailed to a cross like a common criminal, in fact, in the midst of two thieves. But on the third day, God would vindicate him by raising him from the dead. Jesus knew all of this in advance, and yet he went to Jerusalem anyway. None of this caught him by surprise. In fact, he said, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." This is an important point because Jesus went willingly to Jerusalem. He went willingly to the cross. He knew beforehand what would happen, and he went anyway. And he did so for our salvation. But it is also important to note that he wanted his disciples to accompany him there. It would be important for them to enter into the dark experience with him so that they would know the depths to which he would go for their redemption. They would spend the rest of their lives proclaiming this ultimate act of love. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. Our Lord issues this call to us today as well. We too should make this pilgrimage. Though there are some from our parish who are going on an actual pilgrimage to the Holy Land in the next couple of weeks, we are all called to make a metaphorical pilgrimage to Jerusalem. This will not be imaginary. This will be a spiritual journey, and it is intended to impress upon us the depths to which our Lord went to save us. This coming Wednesday, our journey will begin. It will start with a call to fasting and prayer, deep signs of repentance. We will call upon God to give us grace and courage to make this journey. Over the next 6 weeks, we will be called deeper into the scriptures, and we should find ourselves pursuing the Lord more earnestly in prayer as we seek to walk and live out our spiritual discipline. But as we will see, this journey will be worth it. Each Wednesday night, we will follow our Lord through the stations of the cross, remembering that journey to his execution as he bore the wood upon his back. On Palm Sunday, we will place ourselves among the crowd, singing, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." On Maundy Thursday evening, we will find ourselves in the upper room, there with our Lord as he ordains the sacrament of Holy Communion. Many of us that night will seek to stay awake 1 hour in prayer with him as he prepares for his arrest. We'll do so at our vigil. We will come on Good Friday and commemorate those 3 dark hours on the cross. We will hear those 7 last sayings of our Savior from the tree and meditate deeply upon what it all means for us. On Holy Saturday, we will enter into the church in the dark, thinking about our Savior's descent into the realm of the dead. We will renew our baptismal vows as we think of the history of God redeeming his people through the waters. And then we'll come on Easter Day to commemorate and celebrate our most sacred feast. We will think of our Savior's victorious resurrection as he bursts the bonds of hell, tramples on the devil, and arises victorious over death from the grave. This is the pilgrimage which we are called to enter during Lent. From early in her history, the church has set apart this season to be a time of spiritual pilgrimage. Our journey is intended to have a deep and abiding impact upon us. It is intended to form and shape the way that we live and think. This is our story,